Welcome to your personalized deep dive.
Oh, cool.
Today we're exploring the fascinating world of plant communities.
Okay.
And you might be surprised to learn that
Yeah.
the history of how land is used can have a huge impact on what kinds of plants you find in a forest,
Sure.
even decades
Wow.
after that land use has changed. Yeah,
It's like a,
it's like an echo.
yeah, an echo of the
How the
pact.
past influencing the present?
Right, yeah.
We're diving deep into a 2019 research article titled "Land Use History Influences the Vegetation in Coniferous Production Forests in Southern Sweden."
Okay.
It was published by a group of researchers led by Milberg, and it really makes you think about how we view forests.
Interesting.
Yeah, so this study provides
Compelling evidence for.
compelling evidence for just how long-lasting the impact of land use history can be.
Oh, wow.
The researchers focused on a specific region in southern Sweden called Östergötland.
Okay.
They wanted to see what was happening in forests that used to be meadows back in the 1870s.
So they.
So they compared the plants growing in these forests to other forests that had always been forests and even to some nearby grasslands.
Okay.
What they discovered was remarkable.
So the forests with a history as meadows had a much richer mix of plants compared to forests that had always been forests.
Wait, so you're saying that even though these areas were converted to forests over a century ago, some of those meadow plants are still there?
Precisely. It's almost as if these forests are harboring ghost populations of meadow plants quietly existing under the shade of mature trees.
Okay, wow.
The study found that the forests with a meadow history had an average of 134 different plant species, while the forests that were always forests only had 91.
That's a big difference.
Yeah, and when they specifically looked at meadow-type plants, the difference was even more striking.
Wow.
The former meadows had 27 different types of meadow plants, compared to only 19 in the areas that had always been forests.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Almost 50% more plant diversity in the forests that were once meadows.
So how do these meadow plants manage to survive in a forest for so long?
Did the seeds just sit in the soil waiting for a chance to sprout again?
The researchers considered that possibility, which is known as the seed bank hypothesis.
Okay.
They also looked at whether seeds might be blowing in from the nearby grasslands.
I guess it makes sense that some seeds could travel if there are grasslands close by.
Yes, but their findings strongly suggest a third possibility called the perseverance hypothesis.
Perseverance.
This means that some of those meadow plants never truly vanished. They just persisted in low numbers hidden away under the forest canopy.
So they were kind of biding their time, waiting for the right conditions to make a comeback.
Right.
And the researchers actually wrote, "Certain grassland species can persist in a changed habitat following the transitions of land use." It really emphasizes this incredible resilience of some plant species. But wouldn't you expect that all meadow plants would struggle in a forest environment?
That's where the concept of ecological filtering comes into play.
Okay.
Think of the forest environment as a filter that favors certain plant traits while making it harder for others to survive.
So only plants with specific characteristics can thrive in a forest, like being able to handle shade.
Exactly. They found some expected shifts in traits, such as a decrease in light tolerance and grazing tolerance in the forest plants,
Okay.
which makes sense given the shadier conditions and the absence of grazing animals. But here's where it gets interesting.
Okay.
They didn't see a decrease in the overall variation of traits as they had anticipated.
That seems counterintuitive.
Right.
If the forest is acting like a filter, shouldn't there be less variety in the plants that survive?
That's a great observation, and it highlights the complexity of how plant communities respond to environmental change. This study doesn't offer a definitive answer to that question,
Okay.
but it underscores the intricate relationship between plant traits, historical land use, and the adaptability of species. And this finding has some really thought-provoking implications for how we approach conservation and restoration efforts.
So knowing that these resilient plant populations exist could change the way we think about protecting biodiversity. Tell me more about that.
Absolutely. This research suggests that forests, especially those with a history as meadows, could be playing a much bigger role in conserving meadow plants than we previously thought.
Wow.
It really challenges our assumptions about where we might find important plant populations.
Okay.
This study suggests that we shouldn't overlook the potential of forests, especially those with a history as meadows, to act as havens for meadow plant species.
So how do we know that those grassland plants weren't just recent arrivals carried by the wind from nearby grasslands?
The researchers were very careful to address that possibility. They meticulously chose their study sites using historical land use maps from the 1870s to pinpoint forests that had once been meadows.
Wow.
And they made sure these forests were far enough away from any existing grasslands to rule out the chance of recent seed dispersal.
It seems like they really wanted to be sure that the meadow plants they were finding were genuinely relics from the past, not just newcomers.
Exactly. They wanted to build a strong case for their hypothesis, and that meant carefully controlling for other factors.
So knowing that these meadow plants have been hanging out in the forest for so long, it makes you wonder what the long-term consequences of this are.
That brings us to a really intriguing concept called extinction debt.
Extinction debt.
It's the idea that the full impact of habitat loss might not be immediately apparent.
Mm-hmm.
Some species might be barely clinging on, and it could take decades, even centuries, before they finally disappear.
So it's like a delayed reaction to habitat destruction.
Precisely. And these remnant populations of meadow plants could be part of a larger extinction debt that we're only beginning to understand.
That makes this research even more important.
Right.
It's not just about identifying these remnant populations, but also about figuring out how to protect them. What's really striking is that the study was conducted in what's called the hemiboreal zone.
Oh, the hemiboreal zone is this fascinating transition area between the boreal forest to the north and the temperate broadleaf forest to the south.
Okay.
It's a unique mix of both forest types.
How so?
Which makes it a particularly interesting place to study plant diversity.
So it's like a biological melting pot.
That's a great analogy.
Okay, cool.
And it makes the findings of the study even more relevant because it suggests that this phenomenon of remnant plant populations could be happening in other transition zones or ecotones around the world.
Speaking of relevance, you mentioned earlier that this research has implications for conservation and restoration.
Yes.
Could you expand on that a bit?
Of course, the fact that these meadow plant populations have persisted in forests for so long suggests that we might need to rethink our approach to conservation in these areas.
Okay.
Traditionally, conservation efforts have focused on protecting existing grasslands and meadows, but this study highlights the potential of forests to act as reservoirs of grassland plant diversity.
So it's like those forests are providing a safety net for meadow plants.
Yeah.
Even if it's not their ideal habitat.
Exactly. And this knowledge could lead to more targeted conservation strategies.
Okay.
For example, prioritizing the protection of forests with a documented history, as meadows could help to ensure the survival of these hidden plant populations.
It seems like this research is giving us a whole new perspective on the value of forests.
It definitely challenges us to think beyond our traditional categories and recognize the interconnectedness of different habitats. But knowing about these resilient plant populations is only part of the story. What's really exciting is how this knowledge can inform restoration efforts.
So we could potentially use this information to bring back meadow ecosystems in areas where they've been lost.
Precisely. The study suggests that restoring former meadows within forests could be a viable strategy for boosting biodiversity and bringing back those lost plant communities.
I imagine that would require some careful planning and management.
Absolutely. But the researchers offer some specific recommendations based on their findings. One interesting idea is to delay reforestation after a clear cut.
Wouldn't that just allow more trees to grow back?
Not necessarily by delaying the planting of new trees.
Mm.
It gives those remnant meadow plants a chance to spread out and establish themselves before the trees start to dominate again.
It's like giving them a window of opportunity to reclaim their lost territory.
That's a great way to put it. And the researchers also suggest that planting deciduous trees rather than conifers could be beneficial for meadow plants.
Why is that?
Deciduous trees create a more open canopy than conifers, which allows more sunlight to reach the forest floor.
Okay.
This is important because many meadow plants thrive in sunny conditions.
So it's about mimicking the light environment of a meadow, even within a forest setting.
Exactly. It's about thinking creatively and strategically to create the right conditions for these remnant populations to flourish.
This all makes so much sense, and I love how it challenges our assumptions about what's possible when it comes to ecological restoration.
It's a reminder that nature is full of surprises, and that even in landscapes that seem altered or degraded, there might be hidden potential for recovery.
This has been such an enlightening conversation. But before we wrap up, I'd love to hear more about that thought-provoking question you mentioned earlier. The one about whether similar remnant populations might exist in other ecosystems that have experienced land use change.
Ah, yes. That's the question that really keeps me up at night.
Oh, really? If this is happening in forests, could it be happening in other places as well?
Like where?
Could there be remnant populations of wetland plants hiding in areas that were once wetlands but have been drained for agriculture? Or could there be remnants of old growth forest species persisting in areas that were logged decades ago.
The possibilities are endless.
That's what's so exciting about this research.
Yeah.
It opens up a whole new avenue of inquiry. And if we start looking for these hidden populations, it could completely transform our understanding of how ecosystems respond to change and how we approach conservation and restoration.
This has been an incredible deep dive into the world of plants and ecological history. I feel like I've gained a whole new appreciation for the resilience of nature and the importance of understanding the past to inform our actions in the present.
I'm thrilled to hear that, and I hope this conversation has sparked your curiosity to explore the hidden stories in your own local ecosystems. You never know what secrets you might uncover.
So it's like those forests are providing a safety net for meadow plants, even if it's not their ideal habitat. Exactly, and this knowledge could lead to more targeted conservation strategies. For example, prioritizing the protection of forests with a documented history, as meadows could help to ensure the survival of these hidden plant populations.
It seems like this research is giving us a whole new perspective on the value of forests.
It definitely challenges us to think beyond our traditional categories and recognize the interconnectedness of different habitats. But knowing about these resilient plant populations is only part of the story. What's really exciting is how this knowledge can inform restoration efforts.
So we could potentially use this information to bring back meadow ecosystems in areas where they've been lost.
Precisely. The study suggests that restoring former meadows within forests could be a viable strategy for boosting biodiversity and bringing back those lost plant communities.
I imagine that would require some careful planning and management.
Absolutely. But the researchers offer some specific recommendations based on their findings. One interesting idea is to delay reforestation after a clear cut.
Wouldn't that just allow more trees to grow back?
Not necessarily by delaying the planting of new trees. It gives those remnant meadow plants a chance to spread out and establish themselves before the trees start to dominate again.
It's like giving them a window of opportunity to reclaim their lost territory.
That's a great way to put it. And the researchers also suggest that planting deciduous trees rather than conifers could be beneficial for meadow plants.
Why is that?
Deciduous trees create a more open canopy than conifers, which allows more sunlight to reach the forest floor. This is important because many meadow plants thrive in sunny conditions.
So it's about mimicking the light environment of a meadow, even within a forest setting.
Exactly. It's about thinking creatively and strategically to create the right conditions for these remnant populations to flourish.
This all makes so much sense, and I love how it challenges our assumptions about what's possible when it comes to ecological restoration.
It's a reminder that nature is full of surprises, and that even in landscapes that seem altered or degraded, there might be hidden potential for recovery.
This has been such an enlightening conversation. But before we wrap up, I'd love to hear more about that thought-provoking question you mentioned earlier, the one about whether similar remnant populations might exist in other ecosystems that have experienced land use change.
Yes, that's the question that really keeps me up at night. If this is happening in forests, could it be happening in other places as well? Could there be remnant populations of wetland plants hiding in areas that were once wetlands but have been drained for agriculture? Or could there be remnants of old growth forest species persisting in areas that were logged decades ago?
The possibilities are endless.
That's what's so exciting about this research. It opens up a whole new avenue of inquiry. And if we start looking for these hidden populations, it could completely transform our understanding of how ecosystems respond to change and how we approach conservation and restoration.
This has been an incredible deep dive into the world of plants and ecological history. I feel like I've gained a whole new appreciation for the resilience of nature and the importance of understanding the past to inform our actions in the present.
I'm thrilled to hear that, and I hope this conversation has sparked your curiosity to explore the hidden stories in your own local ecosystems. You never know what secrets you might uncover.
It's amazing to think that we could be walking through forests or fields completely unaware of the hidden ecological stories beneath our feet.
Yeah, it's like nature is whispering secrets to us if only we know how to listen.
What I find so compelling about this whole concept of remnant plant populations is that it challenges our perceptions of time. We tend to think of forests and meadows as separate static entities.
Right.
But this research shows us that ecosystems are constantly evolving, shaped by past events in ways we might not always see.
It's a powerful reminder that the past is never truly gone. It lives on in the present, influencing the distribution of species, the composition of communities, and the overall functioning of ecosystems.
And it underscores the importance of understanding that historical context,
Absolutely. If we want to effectively conserve and restore ecosystems, we need to move beyond simply looking at what's there now. We need to delve into the history of these places, uncover the layers of change that have shaped them, and use that knowledge to guide our actions.
So this isn't just about protecting individual species or habitat types. It's about understanding the interconnectedness of landscapes over time.
Precisely. It's about recognizing that ecosystems are dynamic, complex systems with long memories, and that the decisions we make today will have repercussions for generations to come.
This research paints a somewhat hopeful picture, suggesting that nature is more resilient than we might give it credit for.
Yes, there's a certain optimism embedded in this research. It suggests that even in landscapes that seem altered or degraded, there's often more going on beneath the surface than meets the eye. These remnant populations are a testament to the persistence of life, the ability of species to adapt and endure, even in the face of challenging conditions.
It's almost like nature is holding on to these pieces of the past, waiting for the right opportunity to bring them back to life.
And that's what makes ecological restoration so fascinating. It's not simply about recreating some idealized vision of the past. It's about understanding the potential that lies dormant within ecosystems and finding ways to unlock it.
So perhaps the key to successful restoration is to work with nature, to understand its history, and to create the conditions that allow those hidden pockets of biodiversity to reemerge and flourish.
That's beautifully articulated. It's about recognizing the agency of nature, its inherent capacity for healing and renewal. We can play a role in that process, but we need to do so with humility and a deep respect for the complexities of ecological systems.
Well, this has been an incredible journey of discovery. We've gone from the forests of southern Sweden to the broader implications of land use history and the potential for ecological restoration. What a fascinating reminder that even in the most familiar landscapes, there are always new secrets waiting to be uncovered.
And I encourage all of you listening to embrace that sense of wonder. Go out and explore your local ecosystems. Look for clues from the past. Ask questions. You never know what amazing discoveries might be waiting just around the corner.
On that note, we've reached the end of our deep dive for today. We hope you've enjoyed this exploration as much as we have. Until next time, keep diving deep. Stay curious and never stop learning from the incredible world around us.